Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. You are tuned to Radio Islam and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and the time right now is 9 minutes past 10. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up this morning is Monday morning focus, but this morning we're focusing on something a little different. You know, are you suffering from feelings like depression and anxiety, fear and anger? What if you could actually get rid of these feelings just in a few minutes? Well, Dr. Hajra Abed, a medical doctor specializing in energy medicine, will be talking to us about the importance of taking charge of your emotions and also releasing negative emotions from the body. She'll also be telling us more about a workshop that is planned in Indonesia, a little later in this month, to help you learn how to release any unwanted feelings as they arise. So the topic really is about healing the emotional body, inshallah. That'll happen in a few moments. But in the second segment of the program, we'll be doing our regular, a monthly program called Drug Talk with our guest, Sister Nazia Salihi from the Nishtara Drug and Alcohol Rehab Center here in Indonesia. Nazia is the Outreach Program Coordinator, and today, inshallah, we discuss overdose and safe prescription drugs. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but International Overdose Day was on the 31st of August, and it's actually a global event, and Nazia will be telling us more about that in a little while too. So for now, we'll cut back to Monday morning focus, and online we have Dr. Hajra Abed. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Hajra. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam, Zeenat, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
I was hoping to get you on Wednesday, but unfortunately, no space on Wednesday. So I'm putting you on today on a Monday morning. So, you, inshallah, I hope you enjoy this program too. But anyway, we're talking about healing the emotional body. So what exactly is the emotional body? Tell us more about that.
Well, Zeenat, we don't just have the physical body. We have the mental body, the emotional body, the energy body, the spiritual body. So we're made up of many different parts. And the first time when I learned about alternate healing, I went to see a Dr. Costa Nabalis in Pretoria, a Greek doctor, a very brilliant man. And he was telling me that he said the reason doctors can't cure anything is that we only focus on the physical body. We don't look at the energy supply to the organ. We don't look at the emotions that may be blocking. So unless you actually work on the whole being, you can't really get a result. And the emotional body, it's really the feeling body. It's all the emotions that we have ever felt since childhood are stored within this body. And the negative, painful emotions keep us in a state of stress. And when you suffer prolonged stress, it also weakens your immune system. So your defense force is weakened and you're more prone to get sick and infections and ill and all of these things. And then also on the home front, if you're filled with negativity and anger and misery, what are you doing to your children? What are you doing to your marriage? What are you doing to your husband? Because you're going to be beaming out a negative wave of energy, which is the sum total of all the emotions that you're storing. And so really, really, I think it's so important to heal the emotions,
Mm-hmm. So what you're basically saying is, and we see it around us all the time, is, sometimes you're suffering from such a bad condition, but half of it, or maybe most of it, is through how you feel all the time. It's what you're doing to yourself that's causing all these, diseases to come up,
Yes, and if you're really happy and blissful and joyful, you're unlikely to get sick. You're unlikely to go on to drugs. If you look at where our youth is today, everyone's got these emotional problems. They don't feel good enough. They don't feel important. They don't feel loved. They don't feel, even if you give them all these things, their subconscious programming is going to tell them different stories. Because the subconscious, gets programmed by age 7. So whatever emotions you lived with or suffered in childhood, is held in your body. And then as you get older as well, you're going to attract more and more of that stuff into your life. Mm-hmm. And we all want happiness, right? And we all think the happiness is going to come from somewhere out there. My husband, my children, my work, my money. Something out there is going to make me happy. And the truth is that nothing out there can ever make you happy. If you look at a lamp, yeah, if you look at a lamp, that's got a very bright light inside.
Mm-hmm.
But the cover of the lamp is filthy. So no light can shine through that lamp. You're not going to see any light because the cover is so dirty. So if you look at our lives or our bodies as this lamp, that's already got the good stuff in there. But the emotions of negativity is blocking that goodness from coming out.
Mm-hmm.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He breathed of His ruh into us. It's in Surah Al-Sajidah. He breathed of His ruh into us when we were still in the womb. And so we've got that beautiful part that's in all of us, and we need to let that come out. You know, instead of living with fear and misery and insecurity and hatred and jealousy and whatever negativity, look, we all got the negative.
Mm.
And we all got to get rid of it if we're wanting to live a good life, a happy life, an abundant life, a successful life. Because the more you clear away the garbage, the more the real you is going to come forth. And that part of you is going to be able to do phenomenal things, you know.
No, it's true, you know. If you just think of yourself, a very simple example is if you're a happy-go-lucky person, you know, life can become so much more easier. You can, I don't know, I just feel if you're happy, it's much more easier to deal with any kind of problems
Correct.
That you have in your life.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with regards to emotional healing, now, how do you actually heal the emotional body? And maybe you can just give us some information with regards to it.
Well, you see, when you've got emotional issues, like a lot of people, what mainstream medicine goes for psychotherapy or psychiatry. And I was diagnosed with type depression about 15 years ago. And I wasn't going to take any of those medicines that the doctor prescribed because I looked at the side effects, and one of the side effects was psychosis. And I thought, no, I'd want to go off my head. You know, so all these medicines that we use, Ritalin and all of these things, have got very dangerous side effects. So I went for a couple of psychotherapy sessions, and I must say I liked it because, you know, I could just sit and pour my heart out, and I would just look at the face and I would cry, and, you know, I was quite a depressed person. That was just after my divorce or shortly after my divorce. But, so when I learned all these other methods of clearing emotions, you know, it's like you hold certain points on your body, or, you know, and you feel that emotional energy. You're wanting that energy of that emotion to be released. So just say, I've got a lot of anger. It's going to affect my liver because that's the organ that gives off the anger, or a lot of it is stored. And so I'll have issues with that. And then with the emotional healing, you know, there's three different techniques that I'm going to be teaching the students. And this is very simple. Like, you know, you access the emotion with muscle testing. So again, they'll be taught applied kinesiology, which is a muscle test. And then so they will access the emotions that are in the subconscious mind. And then they will delete it. You see, what is nice about psychotherapy, it's lovely because you have a platform to voice your grievances. But the thing is, with psychotherapy, you're still working on the conscious mind. And the emotions are all stored in the subconscious mind. So unless you actually work at the level of the subconscious, you know, you're not going to clear stuff. You're not going to clear that anger. But like if I must just do one of the procedures that I'm going to be teaching, you know, within the minutes, I can clear that anger from my body for good. Now imagine if I don't have anger. I go through life with joy, with forgiveness, with love. So unless we get rid of all these hatred and all these things, and like I said, it's easy. Even a child can do it. And in fact, I think they should be teaching this at schools because children are the ones who are so vulnerable today. You know, they've got their peer pressure, there's Wi-Fi, there's so much of outside forces that's going to bombard them and hurt them. Then they also have all these negative feelings. And who goes for the drugs? You know, young adolescents are taking drugs and they're drinking and they... And it's not only non-Muslims, even Muslims are taking alcohol today and drugs, and, you know, to cope with depression, to cope with anxiety, to cope with fear. So we clearly need to find a solution to the emotional problems, you know, that people are confronting today. In fact, they say that the world today, it's a global thing. And they call it what? Emotion sickness. They say the world is suffering from an epidemic of emotion. Emotion sickness.
Yeah. Okay, you know, I think what you're saying is very true. You know, we need to try and heal ourselves from all these negative emotions, because unfortunately, you know, we're living in a world, if we just look at our own country for that matter, you know, there's so much of anger and fear and things like that, you know, that surrounds us all the time. So, you know, maybe this hopefully would be a way of...
But you know, you know what is scary about this? Mm-hmm. Just say I'm living with a lot of fear. Like you said, in this country, we're all living with fear now. We don't know what Malema is going to do. We don't know if our houses are going to be our houses. So yeah, there's so much uncertainty now, you know? And I'm glad you mentioned fear and anger. Because when we have fear, we are going to attract it. So if I'm living with a lot of fear, I just have fear of burglary. That fear is going to call the burglar into my house. My neighbor may have no fear next door and they won't touch our house. But because I'm beaming out fear, I'm going to attract that event into my life. So, because I'm like a computer and my life is going to show me what I'm programmed with. So when the burglar comes into my life, then I can see, oh dear, I'm sitting with a lot of fear. I need to get rid of the fear. So in other words, when you see it, fear and anger, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we must only fear Him and nothing else. So, but now it's easier said than done. But if you know where fear is stored in your body and you know how to delete it, then yes, get rid of that fear. Get rid of that anger. Because if you don't have fear in your body, you're unlikely to attract the burglar. You're unlikely to attract your house being removed. You're unlikely to attract fearful events. Same way if I'm depressed, I'll attract people who will make me feel depressed. I won't attract people who will make me feel joyful and peaceful and wonderful. And let's face it, well, I don't know if it's only me. But I know most people, in my opinion, most people actually are not happy. We're not feeling fulfilled. We don't have that bliss and that peace in our hearts. And so these are the people, the ones that are already happy and blissful and peaceful, don't even bother because you're very lucky. But for those who are not, who have to struggle, like I struggled with my life with emotions. Because I lost my mother when I was 8, and I didn't know, but at that time I got programmed then for abandonment. I programmed myself at that time. I believe that my mother abandoned us, and we were 8 children. And yet she's gone off to Allah's house, and she's never coming back. And so I processed her death very differently. And I've been practicing these methods that I'll be teaching in the workshop, just to see how effective they are.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing it, suddenly the thought of my mother came online. I don't know why. I mean, you know, she died long, long ago. But the thought of my mother came up. And because I was releasing something else, this started releasing. But I can't tell you, it was so much of energy coming out of my body. And I realized that I didn't actually process my hurt at her departure. I bottled it up. And this is what we all do. We bottle our emotions. And yeah, how many hundred years later, this emotion is still sitting in my body, mm-hmm. probably blocking me from joy. But I must say, since I cleared that grief that I didn't clear when I was 8 years old, my face is changing. Inside, I'm feeling light. I'm feeling different. I'm feeling a bit happy. You know, so I can feel that things are really changing. And I really just want to release more and more so I can feel better and better about life.
Okay, now... You know, sometimes I know, so basically sometimes what happens is just talking about it doesn't really help so much. But now what about, you know, they always say that time heals all wounds. Does it really, you know, does it really happen?
It does, you know, in a manner of speaking. Because, okay, if you lose someone that you love, you know, either divorce or death or something, you're going to feel a lot of grief initially. But afterwards, yes, that grief will fade again into the background. But it's still in the body. And so even though time has healed the initial wound, the data is still stored in the body. So when any trauma happens, no matter how big or small, its memory is going to lodge somewhere in the body. So whether it's a divorce or death or an unhappy home environment, financial problems, all these things stays in the body, our feelings of safety and security. So even though time does heal initially, the data is still sitting there. And anytime you're in stress or anything, it's going to trigger, or if somebody comes in front of you on the road, you know, and you get angry and, you know, and it wasn't a big event, but your anger that comes out may be like quite a bit because that anger is stored in the body, you know. So even though time heals, it doesn't remove, it doesn't delete the programs. And in my opinion, it's like when I die, if I came into the world and then my was as a bright light and it got covered with all my negativity, how do I go back to the cover with that dark, all the darkness and the hatred and the fear and the anger and the rage? Do I make it to Jannah if I'm holding on to all this anger and negativity? I don't know, because I think one has come here to learn forgiveness, to learn compassion, to learn love, to learn feeling safe and secure. And so if we think that, oh, well, the whole world out there has got a problem, I'm unhappy because of my children or my husband or we don't have money, you know, we're not going to ever change. But if we realize that, hey, the issue is actually with me, I've got to change. And then the whole, my whole life is going to change. My family is going to change. My whole world is going to change. Because if a mother is happy in her home, what is she going to be giving off? Joy and love and laughter. And her children are going to benefit from it. The husband will benefit and the whole family will benefit from it. I must tell you also, when you're holding on to these emotions, it can cause quite a bit of aches and pains in the joints, eh?
So all of us suffering from aches and pains,
yeah,
should emotions. Really look at all the emotions,
it's
that
emotions.
Are bottled up inside.
It really is. Mm. It really is. Because I must tell you, like I told you, for a week or so I'm practicing these techniques.
Mm.
If you ask my daughter also, she'll say every time I was walking up the stairs, by the time I get to the top, I'm moaning and groaning because my legs are so sore. Because I don't do exercises and things. I don't go to gym and all that, you know.
Mm.
So I was moaning about my legs hurting. Then I was also having pain in my shoulder. And today I noticed that, hey, I went up the steps, I didn't feel any pain. And the shoulder pain, every morning I wake up and I've got this bit of a shoulder stiffness. That didn't happen today. So it does start removing your aches and pains, because your blocked emotions will also block the energy circuits. So your, so maybe my hand is not getting enough energy because I've got this emotions in my shoulders or something. And so now once you release it, your aches and pains are going to go. And that I found really wonderful because I noticed it today and I thought, oh, I've only been doing this a week. And, you know, just like a few minutes every day, and look how the aches and pains are going out of my body.
Okay.
So I must see if I can say this quickly. I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just want to quickly tell you this one story.
Mm-hmm.
This man was... In 1952, that time there wasn't bypass surgery and heart surgery and all that. He was sent home because he had a massive heart attack. It was his second heart attack. And they were, like I said, they weren't doing operations that time. So they sent him home to die, really. And this man, for 3 months, just worked at releasing his emotions. For three whole months. He lived for another 40 years. He never saw another doctor after that, and he was perfectly healthy. And so he died at age 84, imagine. And before that, he was going right around the world teaching people how to get rid of emotions. So it's very important to get rid of the emotions. And if you look at men, they get more heart attacks than women. And because they also have been told to block their emotions when they're kids, they're not allowed to cry. You know, if a boy cries, they'll say, oh, look, you're like a girl. And they don't let men cry, you know, or boys. And then men find it very hard to deal with their emotions. And, yeah.
Okay. So I think, tell us a little about this workshop. You know, who will it benefit and what will they actually learn here? And I'm just asking you a few questions so you can just give us all the details with regard to and how will it change your life and the lives of the family.
All right, you know, firstly, your relationships will improve. Like I just said, if a woman is happy in a home instead of angry, the whole home life is going to change. Then also your health will improve because you're now boosting your immune system. So your defense forces are super functioning. You also have increased energy levels. You feel a sense of joy and excitement coming back into your life. You become more creative and motivated. to create the life that you've always wanted. I mean, I don't think why we should go through life feeling miserable and thinking it's just all there is to life. I've just got to go from day to day. No, I think every day should be a challenge. Can I get happier today? Can I get more powerful today? And it's about taking back control of ourselves, you know?
Mm.
And I think it's so important that we learn to identify and release these unconscious emotions, because it's sabotaging our lives. So yes, in this workshop, they will learn how to access the subconscious using the applied kinesiology. And then it's identifying the emotions. There's a chart of emotions. So using muscle testing, you find exactly which emotion it is, when it occurred, when you got programmed with it. Usually it's in the first 7 years of life, first 5 years of life. And then they'll be taught three different procedures to delete this emotion. So I think it's a very powerful course. It's on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
The venue. And please, to anyone who wants to come, we have very limited space. So they must please book like early. And if you can please just give them my cell number, they can WhatsApp me if they want to book.
Okay.
And then also, yeah, it's a full day course. Eh?
Okay.
It's a full day.
And it's happening on the 22nd of September.
22nd of September, yeah.
Okay. So you do have, I believe you're having one in Pretoria or in Lodium.
One in Lodium on this Friday.
Oh, okay.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, in Lodium, when we put the advert out, within that same day we got fully booked.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a group of people in Lodium that I'm working with, and they did the first module. They want to do all the modules.
Okay, so this is the second one, eh? This is the second module.
This is the second one, yeah. The first one was on the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And testing for food allergies and sensitivities. And this is the emotional body. Then there'll be the mind body, the psychology, the mental body. Then there'll be, because the mind is a computer. So
mm-hmm.
we have to learn how to use that computer. Because we don't even realize that we're already using the computer, but very badly. You know, so we've got to learn how to use this mind properly, the brain, because it's a supercomputer. And if we know how to use it, we can really achieve miracles in our lives.
Okay.
And the other one, of course, is the spiritual body, and the other one is the energy body. So it's five different modules.
Okay.
And really, they're all just one-day modules. And I've simplified it. And it's like I did each of these modules in 5 days.
Okay.
So I've just grasped the essence of everyone, and so it can be taught very quickly, you know.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today. But I just want to quickly give the listeners an idea. It's on the 22nd of September in Indonesia.
Yes.
The venue is still to be confirmed.
I've got two venues. I've got to choose between the two. So
okay.
I'll confirm it when they register, yeah.
Okay. And
on the 22nd from 9 to 4.
Okay. And if you want to know more, you can always email two doctors.
.sa@gmail.com
and then the number is 079-509-3647. Is that the correct number?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so it's 079-509-3647. If you would like these contact numbers, you can also get it at the radio station. You know, as soon as I get off air, I will leave it at the reception or
Thank
what
website. Thank you so much, Zenith. Because
okay.
I'm hoping so many people learn this and learn to benefit from this.
I'm sure they
become
will.
Become joyful, happy beings.
Yes, I think we need that. But anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Hajra, for informing us and giving us all the details.
Okay. And for getting me to share this info. Thank you, Zina.
Okay, thank you so much. That was Dr. Hajra Abed, who is an energy medicine specialist. And they have the second module. It's called Healing the Emotional Body Workshop. It's taking place on the 22nd of September from 9 to 4. The venue will be, she will send it to us a little later. But if you want to know, then it's 079-509-3647. You can just WhatsApp on that number. And please try and, book to avoid disappointment. twodoctors.sa@gmail.com is the email address. Well, we're going to take a break. When we return, we're talking to Sister Nazia Saleji. It's going to be Drug Talk. And today we're talking about drug or rather overdose and safe prescription drugs. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zinat. And this segment is called Drug Talk. We do it once a month, alhamdulillah, with Sister Nazia Saleji from the Nishtara Drug and Alcohol Rehab Center here in Indonesia. Nazia is the outreach program coordinator, and today we discussing overdose and safe prescription drugs. Now, International Overdose Day was on the 31st of August. Well, it's actually a global event, and hopefully, inshallah, Nazia will be telling us more about that. You know, what this day really is in aid of, and the impact of overdose and drug, or prescription drugs rather, on family. We also want to look at how to recognize the signs and symptoms of overdose, and hopefully Nazia will be sharing some awesome tips for us for safe use of prescription medicine, and I think that is very important as well. And of course, she'll be sharing more with us. So let's start off. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Nazia. Jazakallahu khair for joining us once again this Monday morning.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zinat, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners. It's a pleasure to be in your space again.
It's lovely to have you with us. Now, International Overdose Awareness Day 2018, and I think the theme, if I'm not missing, if I have it right, is time to remember, time to act. You know, but basically, what is World Overdose Day in aid of?
So, Sister Zinat, International Overdose Day seeks to commemorate and educate communities on, you know, people who have overdosed or used overdose as a form of suicide or to achieve suicide. And funny enough, today is International Suicide Prevention Day, and that is also a global event. Seeing as overdose is used as one of the most common mediums for people to end their lives. And also, we're talking about accidental overdoses. So we're seeking to educate and also to spread awareness on the growing epidemic of overdose and the unhealthy use of prescription medication.
Okay, so how common is overdose in, you know, in our country for that matter? I know worldwide, globally too, but how common is it in our country?
It is extremely
in our society, especially.
Sister Zinat, let's bring it down to our community.
Mm-hmm.
In Indonesia alone, we ran a campaign where we asked the pharmacies, the local pharmacies, to participate in the form of, you know, supporting our campaign. And in speaking to the pharmacists, shockingly enough, we found that in Indonesia alone, the amount of codeine, you know, abuse that's taking place, and the amount of accidental overdoses that are taking place, it's a daily occurrence in the pharmacies. And this is something that the pharmacists themselves have actually told me. It is a global problem. It is a societal problem. It is a community problem. It is even down in our homes. So it grows. And one thing that I must add is that the sad thing is that people go to the clinics, and this is something the pharmacist raised. She says that they go to the clinic and the name of the medication has changed, their, you know, chronic medication. And then they are unsure, so they go to the pharmacy and they request the very same medication, plus they use what the clinic has given them. So they are taking a double dose of their medication, not realizing that it's just a name change that's occurred, because medications change, their names change on the market all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is what results in accidental overdoses.
Okay, so you know, what is the medical fraternity, for that matter, doing to control this thing? This giving out of too much of medication.
Sister Zinat, it boils down to education. The pharmacist and the doctors, the physicians, explain to the, you know, to the client or to the patient that this is how you should take your medication, for example. There's a specific time you should take your medication, and there's a specific dosage you should take. It is then the patient's duty to follow through with the instruction of the doctor in order to achieve the best effect of the medication. But you find that, you know, human nature, I listen to, you know, my sister-in-law, I listen to my brother-in-law, I know this doctor's talking nonsense, I'm going to the pharmacy, I'm now going to take this tablet and whatever else someone else suggests to me. So it boils down to, we do educate, we do make people aware. At the end of the day, it is their responsibility to execute those instructions in order to heal better and faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes you go for chronic medication, and especially we're talking about these painkillers especially. And you go to a chemist, and if you don't get it at the one chemist, you would go probably to another chemist, just as long as you can get it. So, you know, it's important. I'm sure there's some kind of control put in place for that as well, because that is important, because people tend to do it. You know, if I can't get it here, I'll just ask somebody from town to get it for me from one of the chemists from there.
Absolutely. It's called pharmacy hopping, Sister Zina. Yeah. It's when people go from one pharmacy to the other, so that even if they do get, they feel that, again, they fear that, oh, I might not get it again, or what if it runs out, you know, or what if my pharmacy doesn't have it again, and they actually buy from different pharmacies, and that's how they stockpile the medication in order to use it. I must also highlight that an overdose is not just using too much of one medication. It is also mixing medications, different medications together, which results in an adverse reaction, or that similar to an overdose, and that is also very dangerous.
And I think it's very important for doctors to explain, you know, when they do give the prescription to a patient, you know, for them to understand. Sometimes a prescription is just written out and given to a patient, and they just go to their chemist and get whatever they have to get. But like you said, you know, we still have a lot of other medication at home that we are taking. So, you know, we need doctors to need to be very specific, I think, when they do give prescriptions, and make sure, look, if you're taking this, do you take anything else at home? What other medication are you on? I know some doctors do it, but there are some doctors that don't do it, unfortunately. They don't, you know, make absolutely sure that, you know, the patient is only taking what is prescribed to them.
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. And the other thing that we must, you know, we must be careful of is self-medicating. If you are on a specific type of, you know, medication, and you know you need to use that, you feel you have a headache, so you're going to take two more of something else, you do not know how those are going to react, especially those with chronic conditions. Mm. So it's important for you to also raise it with your doctor, should they not ask, you know, because after all, it's going to affect you, to say that, if I have a headache, is it safe for me to use one, two, or three, as I do keep them at home and I do take them occasionally, so how will they affect me? Mm. So that's also very important for listeners to
understand. The responsibility is on both you and the doctor, and especially I think it's more on you, because you are the patient and you need to be absolutely sure that what you are taking is not going to, you know, cause unnecessary problems for you. Okay, can we look, you know, or rather, what are some of the symptoms of an overdose? How will you know that you are overdosed?
Sisters, in it, one of the main, there's a few of them, but one of the main ones are preoccupied with obtaining the medication. So you'll find that this person, like we said about pharmacy hopping, they'll make sure they phone perhaps every child in the house who's on their way home from work to make sure that, you know, can you get this medication for me?
So you're addicted to it already anyway.
You're addicted because now you're like anxious. What if I don't get it at this pharmacy? You know, then I know it's going to be here. And preoccupied with it means, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to keep extra. There'll be some in my bag, there'll be some in the medicine cabinet. If we're traveling, you know, that is the go-to person for that kind
of
thing.
Oh, you make sure you have enough in every bag, handbag of yours. There's always, you know, there must be something there. So in case I need it, it's there. We already, you know, even if you don't have the pen, you're already thinking that it may come up.
Exactly. I mean, we often say to people when we do workshops, especially women, I like to ask them to empty their handbags, because some people are walking dispensaries. They have got every kind of tablet and every kind of, you know, medication for every kind of problem. And it's shocking what we find, you know. So preoccupied with obtaining and then storing it, that is a definite red flag. They may seem confused and experience memory lapses. So you'll find them forgetting things. They'll become very forgetful and disorientated or confused at times. They may demonstrate poor balance and clumsiness. So you'll see this person can't really, they're dropping things or they're not walking straight. It's definitely a side effect of the medication. Eyes may seem or may be red and glazed over. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the person's eyes, it will be red. And you know when somebody's dehydrated, their eyes have the sunken look in them. Oftentimes it's glazed. That is what glazed means. They can go for days without sleeping. And yes, this one, I've had first-hand experience, especially at our rehab center. The person's breath, skin, or clothing may emit a foul smell, and the smell is a result of the chemical interaction between the person's body and the drug. We had, a patient, for example, who was using those green pain tablets, and she had used so much of it that when she perspired, you could get the smell of the tablet from her. So it is very important that when you are observing someone, especially the elderly, you carefully count out their medication and monitor and supervise how they take their medication, because this is a very, very important red flag where you can actually smell the chemicals, you can actually smell the tablet on the person. The drug use often results in physical clumsiness, awkward movement, or visual alternation. So they cannot see properly, they walk, funny, and they are clumsy, they drop things. Uncontrollable shaking or tremors. So if this person is shaking, you give them a glass of water to hold and you see that they are shaking. Also a red flag. Slurred speech.
Yeah.
If their tongue is slurring and they're talking slowly and they're having difficulty forming words. Loss of interest in work or school. An increased level of secrecy and changes in personality or mood. Those are the top signs and symptoms to look out for when it comes to an overdose.
Okay, but the one that you mentioned, and I think it's so important for us to remember this, is where the elderly is concerned. What tends to also happen is they become so they're so on that medication. It's so important for them to take that medication that sometimes what happens is if they have a sleep, if they are used to having that medication in the morning, and it's happened, that's why I'm talking about it, is if they're used to having the morning tablets at that time, and if they have a sleep probably in the afternoon, and they get up and the first thing that comes to mind is, I need to take my medication, and they go and they take back that morning medication again. Mm-hmm. That's how they can actually overdose themselves. So it's so important, like you mentioned, that the caregivers should actually take precautions where the medication is concerned. Don't leave it with the elderly, because they do sometimes tend to forget.
Yes.
So take away the medication and make sure that you, anybody else in the caregivers for that matter, whoever, daughter-in-law, daughter, whoever it is, giving the medication, make sure that they give the medication to the patient.
Absolutely.
It's happened, and I think it's very important.
It's also important to note that the elderly, like to share medication.
Mm.
Arthritis,
that's another one.
Medication, pain medication, flu medication.
Yes.
And that's where we see most of our overdose cases coming through, because what can happen is people can have an allergic reaction and go into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
So this is where the airways start to close and the person cannot breathe, and you've got 20 or 30 seconds to get this person, to the hospital before they die. And it's a very, very serious problem. The other thing is checking the expiry dates, especially of the elderly, because the expiry dates are so important, and it's something that is overlooked often.
Why are you wasting? You're not supposed to be throwing away medication.
Exactly.
It's too expensive. Don't waste. But they don't realize that it's expired and you're not supposed to be taking it.
Sister Zinat, I cannot begin to tell you how many, you know, of us, we think, okay, my mom and dad are not staying with us, you know, they're independent, they're fine. But the reality is that as time goes on and they become older and they become more forgetful, you know, take a responsibility to maybe go through their medicine shelf, you know, and say, you know what, ma, let me just check, you know, I want to see what you need. I'll, you know, I want to top you up on whatever. And go through there and check the prescription medication. Check the expiry dates. See that, you know, if one medication is running out and you as a child or you as a caregiver, you are buying the medication, question yourself, especially when it comes to the codeine-containing medication. Mm-hmm. Why is it running out? You know, this also applies to the youngsters. When you know your child is on medication for a specific condition, monitor that medication. Do not allow the child to, you know, to take the medication, and then when you see it's running out, you need to question that. You know, at, for example, there was Concerta, which most students were using, and one of the kids told me blatantly that he was selling his Concerta to his peers at school because during exam time they couldn't concentrate and they couldn't not remember their work, and Concerta allows you to do that. So he was actually selling that at school and giving it to his close friends. So parents need to be vigilant and educated.
Mm. Okay, a little about accidental overdoses. Can you tell us more about that?
So an accidental overdose occurs when you take one medication and you mix it with other medication. Right. It can also occur where, like we said, you go to the clinic and they give you a specific type of medication. Perhaps you're a patient who's on chronic medication and your medication had one name. And the pharmacist says, you know what, it's the same thing, it does the same thing, it's just that the name is different. But the patient does not trust this, so they go to their pharmacy in their locality and they buy the very same medication, but then they use what the pharmacy at the clinic gave them and what they are buying from their pharmacy. Thus resulting in a double dose and an overdose.
So that can be fatal?
It can be extremely fatal. Accidental overdoses are also pegged down to people who have consumed alcohol and their judgment is impaired, and so they go to their medicine cabinet thinking they're taking one or two pain medications, you know, a headache tablet, and they end up taking a handful of something that wasn't meant for them. I would also like to highlight the amount of people that have passed away due to overdoses, and it's not accidental. Over the weekend, there was one of the celebrities, his name is Mac Miller. He overdosed as well on pain medication and ended his life. Our very own professor here in South Africa, Professor Bongani Mayosi, struggled with depression, and he ended his life as well. Through prescription medication, and he was a professor. So just to give you an example, you know, just to give you an idea that overdose is used as a medium to end your life, and it's also an accidental thing where it can happen that you just don't follow the doctor's instructions.
Okay, we'll take a very short break. When we return, we can talk about some of the tips for us to use with regards to prescription medication. Stay with us. We'll be back soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Drug Talk with Sister Nazia Siliki from the Nishtara Drug and Alcohol Rehab Center here in Indonesia. We're talking about overdose and safe prescription drugs. Now, you know, just to end the program, we'd like to just share with you, and Nazia will do that, share with us some tips for safe use of prescription medication, please.
Sisters in it, number one is keep an updated list of all your medications. This list should include all the medications you take, including the vitamins, the supplements, the medications, and update your health care provider. Your doctor needs to know every single type of medication and supplement that you take. In case of an emergency, your loved ones need to know exactly what type of medications you are on so that they can take it through to your doctor or to the emergency room. Number two, set up a brown bag session with your pharmacist and doctor once a year to review your medication. So whatever you've been using on a long-term basis, take it to your doctor, take it to your pharmacist and say, this is what I have been using. You know, should I continue? Is it helpful? feel? You know, can I change? And ask them the necessary questions. Number three, read labels and other educational aids very carefully. Remember, every single type of medication has got a little piece of paper that we often just throw away. Mm. It's very important for us to read and to know the side effects of the medication. So if somebody is feeling a little bit disorientated and you as a daughter know, my mom is using this medication, and you have educated yourself on the, you know, the side effects, you don't panic because you know, okay, if she's a little bit dizzy, it's because she's taking this type of medication. When in doubt, ask your physician and your pharmacist. Please do not ask the auntie next door who's also using the same tablet. She does not know how it's going to affect you. Your bodies are different. So, very important, ask the professional. Don't share or borrow medications. And we highlighted this earlier, where, you know, we want to share, we want to borrow, we care. But remember something, somebody can get, you know, severely sick or have a very dangerous reaction to the medication. So it should only be given as prescribed by a doctor for the client. Store medication in a secure location. Do not have medication laying around where children have access to it, and also where, like we said, if an elderly person has an early onset of Alzheimer's and they go to sleep and they wake up thinking it's the next day and they didn't take their tablets, you know, make sure it's in a secure location so they always have to alert you that, you know, I didn't take my medication today, and then you pick up that something is not right.
Yeah, definitely.
Get organized. So you should have a medication taking calendar, or you should have, you know, one of those counters for Monday to Sunday, where the medication is all prepared there and you don't have to stress about it.
And I think once again, that's very important for older people, you know, especially if you have somebody in the home, make sure that you pack that medication for them correctly.
Absolutely. Do not stop taking your medication without direction from your healthcare provider. You know, always speak to your doctor before you stop taking medication, and know your medical and medication history. Know what you are allergic to. Know what, you know, what side effects there are of the things that you are taking, and be responsible. Educate yourself and follow through on your doctor's orders, basically.
Well, JazakAllah khair, Nazia, for that informative program. You know, we certainly do have to learn all the time, and it's so important. I think this is one of the most important programs where we, you know, take care and make sure that we don't overdose ourselves and family members, and of course our children for that matter.
Barakallah, Sister Zina. JazakAllah for the opportunity.
Thank you. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.